Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast coming your way. It's your boy Pat the Designer back at it again. Jason McKee in the building. This is the audio reprieve. We've had some interesting audio the first couple of weeks, and the comments has let us know. J-Max here to set the record straight and get everything right. We appreciate y'all for sticking through some of the ups and downs that we've had, but of always, mostly ups, man. Y'all know we always up, all the way up. A lot to get to on today's show. Matt Eberflus, the highest odds to be NFL coach of the year. I think that is so interesting from where we started. Also, got to talk to J-Mac about the player perspective on schedule release, and he's got some inside information on the punter. Are we talking punter again? I know. But this is good. This is good punter talk. This is not bashing the punter talk. This is good punter talk. The punter down under. What nickname we going with for him? Did we ever figure that out? I loved Crocodile Punter, but I don't know if that's copywritten or not.
I've seen a lot of people tweet out names for him, man. I don't know. Like, as long as he punts good and he keeps pinning that ball inside the 20, that's all I care about.
I saw Legatron in there. Everybody was like, that's Greg Zuerlein. And I was like, I thought he was Greg the Leg. Like, we got multiple nicknames. You don't get multiple nicknames as a kicker, bro.
Yeah, but everybody, that's so generic and basic, Legatron. Like, come on, we got to be more creative than that. We're Chicago, man. We're innovative, creative. Like, we got to come up with a better name. You know what I mean? For our punter, man. So I don't know.
Let us know in the comments below. Let us know in the comments below. Best nickname for the punter that you've heard or that you've been able to come up with. I ain't gonna lie to you. The Crocodile Punter had me dying. The punter felt weird. I didn't like that one. I was like, it makes me feel off. What's the other ones that I've heard for him? I've heard Legatron.
You ever see a Crocodile Dundee? You know, you're a young guy. You probably never seen Crocodile
Dundee. I seen Crocodile Dundee. I'm a young guy, but I had parents that only watched MeTV and old television.
You know what Crocodile Dundee's name was? His name was Mick. Let's call him Mick. Hey, Mick. Mick. Mick Punt. Mick. Mick Punt.
Mick Punts.
Mick inside the 20. Mick Taylor inside the 20.
I don't know if we can get away with that. I don't know if we'll be able to pull that one off on a broadcast. Just to hear Joniak say that.
Man, Joniak's going to come up with a name, though.
He's going to go completely oppo of everything that we've said. He's not going to use none of the stuff that we've come up with.
Let me go off on Joniak a little bit before we
start. Oh, wait. We going off on Joniak here? Wait a minute.
Let me give some tea about Joniak and how he prepares for the broadcast. Since, you know,
this ain't going off.
We got schedule release and all this stuff. Let me get a minute on Joniak.
Yeah.
So Joniak is like the most prepared guy that I've seen doing the broadcast. And I'm giving him credit, but I'm going somewhere with this, right? So, you know, he's got his whole write-up. He's got all the players, where they went to college. He's got their hobbies, their favorite jokes, their favorite food. He's got everything
on his
call sheet. But then he will come to the booth and he'll have like a bag. And I'm like, hey, man, what's in that bag? He's got his own makeup kit. So we're sitting up there, you know, two football guys, me and Tom Thayer. And he has like his, you know what I mean? He's all, because he's got to do TV. He does TV before radio. So he goes down on the field and I'm looking at him like, man, what are you doing? Like, what is that? What, you got blush in your bag? Like, he put it on. He's an expert at it too. And Thayer, you know, Thayer don't care. So you got Joniak, he's getting all dolled up, and you got Thayer looking at him like he's crazy. And then they go down there and do the broadcast. I'm like, this guy, Jeff Joniak, is the voice of the Bears. He is the mayor. Like, he's over there.
You know what I love about that is he saw himself one time looking greasy on TV and was like, nah, never again, bro. Hey, listen. I'm not even mad at him for that, because my thing is this. You got to look good when you on a camera, right? And sometimes you get on that mug, especially on the real TV cams, and you ain't got the powder, all of that stuff on. You be looking like barbecue ribs out here, dog. Like, you know what I mean? Joniak not gonna look like no ribs. What's Joniak looking like? The baked beans grease. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what Joniak got going on, bro.
And if you get him out of his routine, he gets so frustrated. So we play jokes with him. You know, me and the Z's, Paul Zerang and Steve Zerang, the guys who does the engineering for the broadcast. So if his station isn't set up exactly right, we'll take stuff and move it. Or we'll like take it and hide it, and he gets frustrated. He's like, man, where's my charger at? And his voice is like, he always has a radio voice.
Yeah.
I'm like, Joniak, you're just talking to me, man. Like,
dog, when I tell you, when we did the when we first started, when we all got in on the Bears Radio Network, we did this big meeting with the sales team. And it was my first time hearing Jeff Joniak speak outside of hearing him on the radio. And legitimately, he started talking. And I was like, I'm sorry, is Devin Hester about to run back a touchdown? Yeah. Like, what's sir, this is just your voice? He was like, well, listen, here we go. It's Jeff Joniak, and we've got a phenomenal crew here with us today. And I was like, yo, he just talked like that. Like, that is not a radio voice. That is not an act. That is Joniak. He is 110% him. I love it about him. I'm like, listen, hey, it's not like he's straining himself to put that voice on.
He's nuts, man. And then, you know, we'll be on the road talking about going to dinner. And, you know, Jeff, like everything's football terms. Well, you know, J-Mac, first and 10, we're going to go to the steakhouse and we're going to, you know, hit that dig route going into the door of the steakhouse. And, you know, I've got a whole lot of tables for us. I'm like, man, what are you talking about, man? We're out on the air. Like, we're going to dinner, man. Like, we need to get Danny Zederman to let us do a Joniak roast. I saw Tom Brady had one. We need to have a Jeff Joniak roast or something like that.
Hey, I ain't going to lie to you. I would love to do a Joniak roast, but I feel like when Joniak goes at the end, oh, he would have fire for everybody. Hey, listen, former players roasted Joniak too? Yeah. He'd be like, oh, y'all don't even know. Like, listen, yeah. Hey, J-Mac, this might be a Kendrick Lamar situation. You might want to leave him alone.
Right. The boogeyman. he's got 10 of them held up in stock like
the boogeyman. Oh yeah, he got straight jokes for days. You might want to leave Jeff Joniak alone, man. Big love to Jeff, man. Still got to get Jeff back on the podcast. Last time we had Jeff on the pod was when we traded Justin Fields, and it was a great time. EO was struggling a little bit in the back with him, but it was a great time having Jeff on. We had Thayer on. We had, I mean, like, hey, all this digital stuff be getting to people sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah, I respect it. how'd we get on Fry and Joniak, though? Like, how did we get there?
It's a pod, man. It's a pod. The Bears pod. He's the voice of the Bears. So you got to give him some love. He's done it for a long time, him and Thayer. Shout out to our guy, Doug Coletti, who does the stats for us. And long as Steve's a ring, man, we'll be back this season. Excited to get it started.
Are you gonna have better attire this year for those cold weather games? Because I heard you was out there chilly a little bit.
No, I was good. Man, you know who Lil Z, which is Steve Zaring, he's out there in shorts. Like, he's a soldier.
Radio stations to know that we're not scared of the cold. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he's out there in shorts and he's holding the boom microphone, you know, and he's out there in shorts and but he pulls his socks up. So I'm like, I don't get it. Like, I'm you're wearing shorts, but you pull your socks up. Like, I don't get that.
Just put pants on, dog.
Yeah, I don't get
it. It's a crazy invention. Pants.
Lil Z.
Shout out to the whole Chicago Bears broadcast crew on the radio side, man. Love being a part of the Bears Radio Network. It's so much fun, dog. And hearing the other side of the stories. Because I'm at the station. I'm like, hey, I'm sitting there. I'm like, it looked cold out there today. Let me drive from my heated car to go walk into this heated building. It looks a little chilly. Let's jump into some of these topics, though, J-Mac. Floose right now with the highest odds to be the NFL Coach of the Year. FanDuel has him tied with the highest odds with Jim Harbaugh and Raheem Morris right now. Mm-hmm. DraftKings does have him second highest, but very close. Jim Harbaugh plus 700, Matt Eberflus plus 900. When you hear that Matt Eberflus is the leading candidate, first or second place, whatever it is, for Coach of the Year, and you know kind of what we came from, you know kind of, okay, listen, we, this offseason, when the offseason started, we thought we might be moving on from Flus. A lot of big name coaches became available. We want Jim Harbaugh. We want Bill Belichick. We want Mike. Why can't I think of the coach of the Titans? Mike Vrabel. We want Mike Vrabel. Yeah. Like that. There's so many names out here. And Ryan Poles ends up sticking with Matt Eberflus. All right, we're sticking with Flus. He gets the fade, he gets the beard, and all of a sudden he's got the second highest odds. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but are you surprised to hear that Matt Eberflus is this high up on the Coach of the Year odds to start the season off?
Yeah, you know, I'm not surprised with the moves that we made, you know, in terms of the draft, having a good draft and, you know, bolstering this roster through free agency and then the hype around Caleb Williams, the number one pick. you know, it's May, obviously, and it's always some we're always optimistic in May, you know, when it comes to the Bears. It was the same thing last year, right? Everybody was high on the Bears. Some people were saying they were going to win 10 games because, yeah, Justin Fields, second year in the same system. Oh, they got DJ Moore, you know what I'm saying? They got this. So, expectations are high just because of the moves that we made. But I'm not surprised. You know, Coach Flew's 10-24 overall record coaching the Bears.
Yeah.
I think for him to win Coach of the Year, I think they would have to, you know, win the division. I think that'd be the first thing. And then obviously you win the division, you make the playoffs. I think that's the only way that he'd be considered, for Coach of the Year. I think if they somehow was a wild card and they made the playoffs, I think, you know, one of them other coaches could possibly slide in there and win the award. And I'm not surprised Harbaugh's up there. You know, Harbaugh's had a good track record of rebuilding programs. You saw what he did in Michigan, or you saw what he did with the 49ers while he was the head coach there. He's been successful every coaching stop that he's had. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, I think that they had a good draft as well. The good thing that he didn't have to do is, you know, go find the quarterback. He just had to bolster the roster, you know, around their quarterback, Justin Herbert. And he had to basically bring in guys that fit what they're trying to do on offense and defense. You know, Harbaugh's a smash mouth guy, power football. So those are the type of players that he drafted. And, you know, same thing with Flews. You got a new offensive coordinator. And, you know, you bring in, you know, two receivers, you know, to help out Caleb Williams. You bring in Caleb Williams. You know, you bring in some free agents along that line on that offensive line. So there's a lot of optimism, as it should be at this time, as it always is. So I'm not surprised to see those odds, you know, in Coach Flew's favor.
To your point, and I had to look up last year's Coach of the Year candidates as well and their odds and stuff like that. Last season, Dan Campbell was plus 900. Sean Payton was plus 1,000. Matt Eberflus and Arthur Smith tied for third with plus 1,400. So to your point, right, very high odds on him even last season to win Coach of the Year. There was high hopes. There was a lot of, like, buzz around him. What would it take in your mind for him to actually be able to go out there and win Coach of the Year this season? Because I think that's really the difference where, excuse me, like last year you knew it was going to be, okay, you got to go out there and be a playoff team. Yeah. But this season, it's kind of like, okay, but what if the offense clicks? What if the defense just kind of continues where they are? Is that just being a 10-win team? Do you have to be a 12-win team? Do you have to win the division? What in your mind right now does Flews have to do to win Coach of the Year?
Yeah, like I was saying, like, I think he has to, first of all, the first step, you have to win the division. You know, something that we haven't done in a long time. Like, you would have to win the division. And then, you know, obviously you win the division, you get in the playoffs. So I think that would be the biggest thing, you know, winning the division, you know, winning a playoff game would obviously add to that resume and his chances of winning that award, something that we haven't done in a long time, you know, and with the improvements that we've made, you know, in terms of the roster and offseason moves, like, it's definitely in his favor. And I think it's, you know, I know we're going to talk about the most important players, you know, coming up this season that are in terms of making the Bears be successful this year. I think there's a lot of players that's going to play key roles, you know, on this team. But, you know, it's up to Coach Flews to make sure that, hey, I've got a new offensive coordinator. I got to make sure this offense gels with all these new weapons that we have. I got to make sure this offense is tailored. And that way we can bring along the growth in terms of development and structure of this offense geared toward our quarterback, Caleb Williams. You know, as he grows, this offense will grow. And I think defensively, you know, we took a huge step last year, especially after the acquisition of Montez Sweat. But, you know, can we continue to get better? Can we continue to be dominant and pick up where we left off last year? And I think that's another key piece. And he's the guy. He's the glue. You know, he's the orchestrator. He's got to put it all together and make sure that, you know, his guys aren't drinking the Kool-Aid in the offseason. And they got to make sure to go out there and perform each and every Sunday. So I think, you know, it's really – I think those two things, you know, win a division and win a playoff game would actually help him, you know, at earning that award.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday on The Breeze, and here was my thing. Why? Because how you just said it, right? It sounds like a Matt Nagy situation, right? How we look at Matt Nagy's Coach of the Year and we're like, but Vic Fangio kind of did that for you. You know what I mean? Like, it almost sounds like that when you break it down of, like, the offense has to do this, you got to make plays, Caleb Williams got to develop. That is more of the OC getting the job done versus Matt Eberflus.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is, to me, why I would look at Matt Eberflus and what he has to do now for me to look at his entire coach of the year bid. You cannot come into this season lackluster again. You have an extra week of preseason. Mm-hmm. I think you need to take training camp seriously. I think you need to take preseason seriously. The one thing that to me will negate his coach of the year candidacy, and I know the season can finish very different, but if we take seven steps back like we did last season, how are you the best coach? Because your team is, again, unprepared to start the season. You know what I mean? Like that, I think a preparedness to start the season is so important. And I like the best teams don't use this whole first 4 weeks of the season is preseason for us. Like the Chiefs aren't thinking that way. The Bills aren't thinking that way. The Packers aren't thinking that way. You're not good enough to think that way. And I think that Matt Eberflus, to me, he's got to change his philosophy on getting his team prepared for the season.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes because you remember. It's just a way in terms of training camp, and I know we talked about this a lot, and we were at training camp a lot last year. It's just the physical element, right? The physical aspect of football I felt was non-existent in training camp last year, right? Because we saw that the whole first week of training camp, we didn't see guys in shoulder pads until the second week of camp. You know what I mean? And I know times have changed, and I know there's rules, but there was other teams that were in pads after like their third day. So, you know, it's a lot different when you have one-on-one drills, right? You've got your offensive tackle pass setting on air. You've got your offensive tackle pass setting against the DN, and they're in just helmets, right? Well, yeah, they're going full speed, but there's an element of, you know, we've got to keep each other healthy. We can't run into each other because we don't have pads on, right? So you're not getting a realistic look in terms of what you're going to see, you know, in a game. And that showed early on, like, you know, God, I felt like guys weren't prepared. You know, your body can't get calloused in terms of being able to understand, like, the punishment that you're going to take. It's not used to being hit. You know, running backs, you're not used to getting tackled and being in awkward positions like you're going to be in the season. So, you know, it's like you said, it's like the first few weeks of the season, you're trying to get that game feel of something that you didn't have in training camp.
You know, it's crazy, J-Mac. I almost feel like I could deal with you, like, needing to get used to the bumps and bruises through the first 4 weeks, if it looked like the Bears knew where to be in the system.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our first 4 weeks, we didn't know our own scheme. I feel like versus the Packers, it was like, all right, what are we running? Screen pass. We got to figure it out. I don't know. We're slowly getting this together. It's week one. We're taking our – like, but the Packers knew the scheme the day they walked on the field, right? And I get it. Like, Jordan Love's been in that system for a while. He probably knows it like the back of his hand, so that makes a bigger difference. But I'm sorry. Like, there's one thing that's very important, at least to me, the most important, the base of importance in football. You got to know how to run the plays that you're going to be running. And it didn't look like the Bears were on the same page with that to start the season last year.
Yeah, it was a lot of a lack of execution, right? And you look at even – you know, you can pick out a lot of different things, but, you know, in my mind, you know, look at the Tampa Bay game and you look at Chase Claypool missing a lot of blocks, you know, lack of effort on blocks. You know, I just felt like we didn't play fast. Like, it was like, okay, the season's here, but where's the energy? Like you said, lackluster start. Where's the energy, right? And you saw Green Bay came here to Chicago and kicked our tail because they had guys making plays, right? It's one thing, yes, you may run the wrong route or go the wrong way. That's understandable. You're going to have a missed assignment. But in terms of the effort, you know, the intensity, you know, understanding the moment, understanding you're playing a division opponent. Notice I didn't say rival because there's no rivalry no more. We haven't won in a long time. You're playing a division opponent. Like, you got to come out with some extra energy, especially at home. And, you know, it seemed like when they started making plays, I'm talking about Green Bay, when they started making plays that first game, it looked like we went in the tank. We didn't have answers for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just feel like, you know, Coach Flus, right, he did a good job of, you know, keeping this team together, right? He galvanized the troops when things were bad and they went on a little run. But at the same time, there was a lot of times in which we didn't see a response, right? Something bad happens, we didn't see a response from this team. I didn't see the energy being out there on the sideline. You know what I mean? I didn't see guys hyping each other up. It almost seemed like they were waiting for something bad to happen. But then when it happened, they were down and they were like shell-shocked. You know what I mean? So, you know, Coach Flus, you know, like we talk about being coach of the year, getting this team on, you know, on one accord, getting the energy out there. I think, you know, he may have to, I'm not saying change his coaching style completely, but, you know, guys got to get fired up. You know, they make a play, we got to be emotionally charged up to go make a play and answer that. You know what I'm saying? And that's something I felt like I didn't see a lot of to begin the season. And then when guys started making plays and when we started turning this thing around, and I'm talking about Montez Sweat, I think he was a huge factor in that. You saw guys elevate their play. That whole defensive line got better when Montez Sweat got here. And, you know, the defense started believing, right? You started seeing more takeaways. You see Jalen Johnson getting picks and stuff like that because Montez Sweat brought an energy. You know, he brought big playability, being able to get to the quarterback, and that generated takeaways. And that not just on defense, it raised the confidence, but it raised the confidence of this entire team. And, you know, that's something that we got to get out the gate quick, you know, especially in this league, because you never know, you know, those early losses, they're going to come back to haunt you. And it came back to haunt the Bears last year because they could have been, you know, a playoff team. They let a couple slip away and they started off slow. So when you look at it as a whole, this team is not that far from being – they weren't that far last year for being in the playoffs.
Right.
We just had a couple of games slip away, and we started slow. So you got to get out the gate fast, man, and you've got to be consistent in terms of your preparation and your play, you know, throughout the season if you want to have a chance at, you know, winning the division and making the playoffs. Because every game has a high emphasis on it. But when you're playing a division opponent, you know, each game really counts as two wins if you win that game.
And I'll say this, right? I think that, again, you brought up the energy. You brought up, you know, having something in the tank, going back to it. And it's no disrespect to Justin. It's just Justin's personality. But Justin is a very even-keeled guy. He's a very, you know, I'm going to show my emotion through my play, not through my actual, like, physical attributes. I'm not sitting here screaming on the field. We're not doing none of that. A little dance, right? A little shimmy when I make break off a big run. That's what you're going to get. That's the most you're getting out of Justin.
Yeah.
I don't think that's coming from Caleb. And I say that to say, last season, if you saw it reflected. Remember that day we were at camp? Defense is making plays all over. They talking crazy, right? They talking crazy to the offense. And we just like, they gonna say anything back? Like they gonna they ain't said a word. Like it's silent over here. And then the next day they tried to manufacture it, which was Chase Claypool just going absolutely ballistic, dog. I was sitting there. I was like, he was saying some stuff. He was throwing some what Kendrick called Drake a fan. You know what I mean? Like he was throwing some stuff out there. We was like, oh, they fighting in the locker room? Like that's a little disrespectful. So like it was very manufactured. It wasn't who the team was. I think the identity of this team is gonna change a lot this year when you bring in a young man like Caleb Williams, who you saw the raw emotion as he walked on the draft. He said, or walked out to be the number one draft pick. He said, I didn't know what I was going to do when I get out there. And just the raw emotion bubbled out and it turned into a scream. I was excited. I was happy to be there. That's the kind of kid that you got coming in here with that mentality. And you add Keenan Allen, right? DJ Moore is a very big, I'm going to let my actions do the talking. Keenan Allen's like, oh, my actions going to talk, but I'm going to talk with you. Yeah, I mean, so I think that you have a team that's more suited to have that energy, to have, and it'll start early. I fully expect us to see a lot of jawing, maybe some kerfuffles, a little scuffling. Yeah, I mean, a little bit of something at training camp this year. Why? Because I think there's going to be more of a back and forth, and not just the let's let our play do the talking.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm so excited to see this year. One-on-ones, the DBs and the receivers. You know, you've got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. You got a young Rome Odunze. You got Jalen Johnson. You've got Kyler Gordon. You know, Kyler Gordon, Rome, same college. UW, University of Washington. My guy Olin Krutz, who also went there. But then you also have, you know, a young Tyreek Stevenson, who we know is going to be looking to take another step at getting better. And you saw last year him and your guy Chase Claypool, they were fighting every practice. So it's going to be interesting to see. They were going crazy. It's going to be interesting. That's going to be, and you see Jalen Johnson tweeted out a few weeks ago talking about, I can't wait for practice. And that's something I love about Jalen Johnson, right? He's just the ultimate competitor. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what makes him so great. Like, we talked about last season, him only having he had one interception before last year. And, you know, he knew he was coming in a contract year, bet on himself. But even in practice, like he was going up against DJ Moore. Remember that? He was lining up against DJ Moore every single rep. And that's how you make each other better. Iron sharpens iron. Like, you want to be the best, you got to go against the best. So, you know, I can't wait to see that. And, you know, I would love to see in one-on-ones, you know, this year, I would love to see, like, Montez Sweat going up against Braxton Jones a lot. You know, if I was Braxton Jones and I wanted to get better, I would say, hey, I want to go against Montez Sweat in one-on-ones a lot just to make, you know, sharpen my game and to help my development. So it's going to be a lot of exciting, a lot of training camp battles that we'll see this year in training camp.
Hey, I hope it does help his development, boy, because I remember Unique showed up and he did that last year and we was just like, ooh. He was like, no, Braxton got some things to learn. He's like, you think? No, but the one thing I think for me, if I could take it, and all of this does go back into Floose being coach of the year, right? Like, we're just talking about raising that intensity because I think that raises the intensity that you see on the field.
Yeah.
That raises the intensity that you see when the season gets here. And I've said, I talked about this, right? Because when we're talking about like the trio of wide receivers and who's the best, you know, who's got the best trio in the NFL, I say this, you've got a trio right now that is going to get the best work. You've got a quarterback right now that is going to get the best work this season defensively versus his own team.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many defenses that can prepare you better for what you're going to see Sunday in and out than what the Chicago Bears have built here. When you talk about the linebacking crew, when you talk about – now, listen, the big guy, they're not hitting nobody, right? We watched last year. You see guys flying past, and they just like, I sacked him. I know he didn't. He was like, yeah, all right. Like, but when you talk about your DBs, when you're talking about your linebacking crew, right, like it's going to be tough for you to get the ball out there. And they're not looking to give you anything. So you're going to have to take everything – I think that this is going to be one of those off seasons where we're going to have many days where we leave and we like the defense won, the offense won, the defense won. Oh, they back and forth. Oh, this has been a great week of practice. Like, it's not just the talk of a great week of practice, but that intensity has to be set by Floose. And I almost want to say, remember year one, he got fined a bunch. Yeah. I don't know if we got fined, but did we get fined for that?
Well, yeah,
because
there was, it was too much contact. In minicamp, actually, it was too much content. In minicamp, I understand that, you know what I mean? You can't, you know, it's got to be held to a minimum. But I think when you're allowed to put on the pads, I think, you know, and I'm old school. Obviously, we were in pads all the time. And I know it's a new, you know, new rules and stuff like that. But I think, you know, in my opinion, when you have an opportunity to be in pads, you know what I'm saying? The game is played in pads. It's not played in shorts. So I need to continue, you know, making sure that my guys are – getting the most realistic look that I can simulate in practice as much as I can. And if I'm not doing that, I feel like, you know, you're failing as a head coach because you're not giving them a realistic look of what the game would be like. So I've got to make practice it's as much as I can. I got to make it as close to a game-like atmosphere and at a game-like tempo, you know, as much as I can. If not, I don't think, you know, it's going to hurt us on Sundays.
And that's my thing and my whole point in all of this, right? I don't know at what point does the NFLPA come in and go, hey, listen, if y'all do this one more time, we're gonna move to suspend Floose for a game. But get right to that line.
Yeah.
Because you know your team's prepared at that point. You know that your team is – and I don't think any of the Bears brass would be upset that like, hey, we were hitting a little bit too much, and so they're going to fine us for hitting a little bit too much. Unless they, like, you know, tax it crazy. But I think that what you're doing is you're setting the standard of, like, listen, we're going to take this thing straight up to the line. It's not the mindset of let's be good enough. It's let's go out there and make sure that we get as much of it as we can. And I think that is what I want to see change. That, to me, would win Floose a coach of the year. And all of that conversation to me just leads to your team's prepared.
Yeah.
Your team's prepared.
Yeah. And it goes back to, right, when you hear coaches talk about, you know, they come to the podium or they're getting interviewed and they talk about, you know, what is your identity? Oh, we're a physical football team. Well, how can you be a physical football team if you're not in pads like that during camp? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? It's hard, like, and everybody's pro, so all these guys are the best of the best, right? But at the same time, it's hard to just show up on Sunday and then flip that physicality switch. You know what I'm saying? If you haven't done that in practice, like the entire week or throughout training camp, right? It's like a boxer, right? If I'm not working on my jab, I can't just turn, punch, hit the jab button and go into a fight and automatically have a good jab or be perfect. You know, have a perfect jab, right? I've got to work on it. You know, I've got to work on it. So. You know, it's just hell. Even in my opinion, like hell, like, and it may be a little crazy, but you know, even if you're in some type of walkthrough period, right? And okay, this whole practice is a walkthrough. Let's do it in pads. Just to get our bodies used to being in pads. Like, I know you're pros, and I know, but I don't know, just setting that precedence. Like, if we're going to be a physical football team, we're going to practice that way. Everything we do is going to be that way. You know, each period is going to be that way. The tempo is going to be physical at a high pace. And yes, we're keeping everybody healthy, but at the same time, we got to give each other looks to make each other better. And, you know, like you said, in this offense, you have an opportunity to go against a great defense. In my time with the Bears, we had a great defense as well that made us better as an offense. You know, like the defense that we saw each and every day at practice and throughout training camp was the best one we would see all year, you know, if not close to it. So it's like I said before, it's iron sharpens iron, teammates making teammates better and, you know, trying to keep each other healthy. But at the same time, if I'm not giving you a great look, I'm doing you a disservice on Sunday because now you're not going to be prepared for what you're going to see or what you're going to get from the man lining up across from you.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, right? When you hear all of you guys on the offensive side talk about, right, like, well, how are you able to do this? Like, well, every week I got to figure out how to get through. Right, Thomas Jones, how are you able to run through people the way that you do? I got to run through Briggs and Urlacher.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, like it's not fun in practice. It's work. Like, we have fun, but like, that's not a good day. Like, that's them the two scariest dudes I got to see in the NFL, and they play on my team.
And don't get me wrong, like, Lovie did a good job of, you know, there were times in which, you know, a lot of times we're in pads. Like, if it was a team period, it was called thud tempo, where, you know, it's live up top blocking and you can wrap up on the running back, but we couldn't take anybody to the ground because, you know, when you take people to the ground, you know, people's legs are there, you get rolled up on and stuff like that. But he would have a period in practice or a period or two in which, you know, or it was a situation in which it would be live. So a lot of times we did live short yardage for like 8 plays. We do live goal line for 8 plays. That's tackling. That's all everything. You know, it's like a mini scrimmage. And we got after it because we knew. And we were a team that talked trash, and, you know what I mean, we wore our emotions on our sleeves. And you went in that locker room, and if the defense won, they were going to let you hear about it. You know, if we won, we was going to let the defense hear about it. You know, you may hear, you know, Mike Brown yelling, yeah, we kicked y'all's ass today, but, you know, we come back the next day like, Mike, we punched y'all's ass today. Don't even try. We scored every play. And he's like, nah, that didn't count. That didn't count. We scored every play. So it was good. It was good because, like, in a game, that's what you're going to get. Like, what a lot of people don't get a chance to hear, like some of you do because, you know, people are mic'd up now. But it's a lot of trash talking, man. It's a lot of trash talking.
They cut a lot of the stuff out.
You know? Yeah, it's trash talking.
They cut a lot
of the
stuff.
It's a battle, man. So, you know, I think having situations like that, even if he makes the situational periods live, you know what I mean? And, okay, we're going 5 plays live. Cool. 5 plays live or 8 plays or whatever. Like, let's
he had that, but it didn't feel, it felt like, right? Like, we watched that, but then, like, you'd see, who was it? DeMarcus Walker run past Justin. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, now, right? Versus a normal quarterback, that's a sack. With Justin Fields, maybe that's not a sack because he's able to break out of it, but he's definitely not finishing the play the way that it's being executed right now, right? Like, things are changing. And I think they didn't ever take that into account. I get it. You got a total line of like what the NFLPA wants, what the players want, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, are you ill prepared if you don't do it? If you don't practice it, like all of a sudden practice making perfect is become right. Like when you do it in the game, you'll perfect it as you go through the game. I think it's too late then.
Yeah.
And Yurko said this when we had him last Friday or Friday before. I think it was Friday before. Mm-hmm. He said, by the time you get on the field, you're not dissecting information. You're not taking in information. You're doing that pre-play maybe at most, but you're reacting as soon as the ball snaps. You need to already know where you're going. You need to already know how this play is going to run. You need to already, and that's set in practice. That's set in training camp. That's right. Like all those things that as a team, I mean, I think realistically speaking, we'd all agree the Bears didn't put their best foot forward in. To me, me watching it, it felt like there always was just like, I mean, y'all got to do this. I guess it's mandatory.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see in training camp this year. The format's going to change. You got a new offensive coordinator, so the offensive practice is going to change. The format in practice is going to change. You know, coaches, they always go back. And as coaches, we review everything. So we review our schedule from the previous year. We review the way we did things. You know, were we successful in this aspect of practice or this aspect of the offseason? And obviously, you know, the Bears wasn't as successful as they wanted to be. So you will see a change in training camp practice. So I think it'll be interesting to see when we're out there to see, you know, what changes we see as compared to last year. You know, is it more intense? And, you know, don't get me wrong. Like, it was a fast practice because that's one of
it was fast.
Flus's principles is playing fast. His principle, yeah. Like, guys were flying around and the defense was getting to the ball. But like you said, you know, he's talking about hustle, intensity. You know, I didn't see a lot of the intensity in practice. So let's see if that intensity, the eye and hits principle, it really comes to fruition in training camp this year.
Let's see if we get the hits principle this year. We finally got the T. We got the T at the end of the season. And we're slowly adding pieces to it. It's like We're playing Hangman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like we just add letters in there as we can. You know what I mean? let's keep this thing moving along, though. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Showing love as you guys always do. Hit that like button. Subscribe to the page. I don't know if I did this or not, but I'm going to do it again. We do want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Las Vegas-style gaming just 30 minutes from Soldier Field. Exit 6 right off of I-80. 94. All right. I got to ask you this, J-Mac, because I, at this point now, especially as a content creator, right, you're always looking for stuff to talk about. You're always looking for stuff centered around your team to break out and break down. And the next thing that everybody is waiting to break down is the schedule release. Everybody, oh, his schedule's coming. Here we go. Howie, we had lost predictions way too early. We have no idea who's going to be on what teams. Wins can change. I think Hoodie says he gets to change his win-loss prediction 4 times. Before the season starts, he's like, I don't know how it's going to go. And then I get to see him in training camp. Then I get to see him in preseason. Then, you know, I get the actual prediction. Do players care about the schedule release like we do? Like, what is I've seen clips where it's like everybody's sitting around listening to the schedule, but I don't know if y'all care as much.
The thing that we really looked at that I can recall, well, I'll speak in terms of myself. I looked at, you know, the warm weather teams, were we playing them late in the season, especially away? Like, you want to play them teams away because you know what it's going to be here. you're going to be frostbitten. It's going to be frozen. It's going to be like, hey, but if I get a chance to go out to Arizona in November and play out there, you know what I mean? Go to San Fran out there in you know, November and December. We're excited because we get to escape one of these cold weather games. So we look at things like that. A lot of guys will look at the schedule too and look at it. Okay, you know, bam, you know, my college teammate plays for the 49ers. Like, oh, you know, I can't wait. I'm gonna call him right now, talk trash. Hey man, we're gonna see you. We're gonna see you on this date. You know what I mean? So I think that was the main takeaway that I got from a lot of guys in the locker room, you know, getting opportunity to play against, you know, your friends, former college teammates,
right, buddies.
Who, you know, you may have golfed with you in the off season or spent vacation with. Now you gotta, you know, put your helmet on to go against that person. But I think the main thing is we looked at is, you know, the cold weather games compared to warm weather games. You know, if we're going to be out in San Diego in November, we're like, oh yeah, this schedule's beautiful. It's perfect, man. We're going to be in San Diego, you know, in the middle of December, you know, and not have to be a Soldier Field in that frozen tundra. So I think that's the main takeaway I get from the schedule release. And I don't think, you know, some guys, I can't speak for all the guys, but for myself, I never, like, really looked at a schedule and said, okay, win, loss. You know what I mean? Ain't no guy going to sit here
you
know, and say, oh, we're going to lose to the 49ers on this day. We're going to win this game. We didn't look like that.
Right. Y'all not doing the win-loss prediction. Did you guys do kind of – I guess, did the order mean anything to you? Because to me, I think when you look at the order of how you play teams – of course, talked about playing the warm-weather teams later in the year, so that's always great. But You look at the order of when you play teams, and you're like, okay, we got kind of a stretch here with, like – I mean, I expect those guys to have like 5 wins by the time we play them at the end of the year. You know what I mean? Or like, did you look at it kind of like that, where it's like they're not very good and we got 3 teams that aren't very good? We should be able to get those.
No, because in this game, you can't take any team for granted based upon what they did last year. Every team's different. I mean, look at the Houston Texans. They made a huge jump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
With the rookie head coach, rookie quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So you can't look at that and say, okay, Arizona was terrible last year. The Panthers were terrible last year. And, you know, everybody's cracking jokes about them on how the Bears, we ski-masked them and took all
those. I mean, they were terrible last year.
Yeah, they were terrible last year. I'm saying everybody's, you know, we're still joking about it now. I joke about it all the time. And I put my ski mask on. I said, that's what Poles did, you know, to the Panthers. But at the same time, you know, just because they were terrible last year and everybody's riding off Bryce Young, well, he can come out this year and light the league on fire. It's just a matter of you know, when teams gel. You know, you get the right people in there, you get the right leaders in there. Like I said, you analyze your team and what you did bad, and which the Panthers did pretty much everything bad. But, you know, they try to figure out a way to right the ship and turn things around. So we didn't look at that and say this team's bad, because you never know, man. Like, a team that you don't expect will come out and they'll rip off five straight wins. And everybody's talking about, oh, man, like, this guy's coach of the year. You know what I'm saying? He's a candidate and all this stuff. Like, you never know, man. I mean, everybody's professional. Everybody's the best of the best. You got the best coaches in the game. You know, the best trainers, the best doctors, the best strength coaches. You know, you're surrounded by world-class people who are at the best at their job, at every position. So, you know, things can change in a matter of a few games.
Were you a guy that was excited about playing on holidays, or did you not like playing on holidays?
I thought it was cool playing on like holidays, because growing up as a kid, you know, you watch the Thanksgiving Day games.
Yeah.
You watch the games on Christmas, you know what I'm saying? And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I'm actually playing, you know, I'm playing. And I can recall, you know, growing up and watching John Madden with the turducken and handing out the legs to the guys, you know, handing it out to Emmitt Smith and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman. You know, the Cowboys always played on Thanksgiving and stuff like that. And I was like, man, that's pretty cool, man. You know, it'd be exciting to actually, you know, have an opportunity to play on one of those holidays. And I did. I played on a lot of, you know, a few holidays. So,
oh yeah,
you know, I think it was pretty cool.
They didn't
cool.
have Christmas Day games when y'all played, did they?
Yeah, we did. I think we played, matter of fact, we played Green Bay up in Green Bay, 05. I want to say it was Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, I remember. But yeah, it was a regular Sunday, right? Yeah, it wasn't like they Sunday. Moved it around. Like, you know, now that, no. Hey, the NFL now said, hey, screw the NBA. Y'all get what y'all get.
We go to the NBA, man.
Hey, we putting games on. Oh, it was Christmas. I think Christmas this year is on a Thursday or a Wednesday or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, hey, 12 o'clock game, 9:30 yeah, game. We're like, wait a minute.
Yo, LeBron's playing? Oh, LeBron and AD, they're playing? Oh, yeah, yeah. Move the game. Yeah, same time slot, too. Yeah, yeah. Same time slot.
You know what? I actually want to get to this before we get to the punter insight, because I don't know if you saw this yesterday. You saying that just made me think about this.
Okay.
Did you see Austin Rivers' tweet I think it was on ESPN yesterday, where he said that he could take 30 NBA players and you could put them in the NFL would be fine.
Man,
but you can't take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. JJ Watt been cooking this, man. Let me pull up exactly the exact tweet. But what do you think?
This is what who said that? Austin Rivers, right?
I want to say this was Austin Rivers. He was getting he was getting cooked yesterday.
And anytime Austin Rivers, right, wants to get a helmet, I got a couple he can have. You know what I mean? I'm not even wearing shoulder pads for him. You know what I'm saying? We can go head up anytime he wants. You know what I mean? Since it's that easy, since it's that sweet, you know, we can do it for charity, and we'll donate the money to his charity. You know what I'm saying?
So he said this on the Pat McAfee show. He said, I could take 30 players right now in the NBA and throw them in the NFL. You cannot take 30 NFL players and put them in the NBA. And JJ Watt's response on Twitter was, you don't got a job in either, right? Now go ahead and try it.
Right. Exactly. let me get his address. I'm going to send him a red nose because he's a clown right now. That's a clown comment right now. Let me give him a red nose, man. Come on, Austin. You know better than that.
Totally. Now, let me. All right, let me play devil's advocate here. We don't think that NBA play. Now, I think they would have to get used to getting hit. All of that. That's the part that I think would be the most. Most of these months ain't gonna make it, right? But we don't think that there are players in the NBA that could play tight end in the NFL. You don't believe that?
We've seen it. We've seen it already. We've seen it. Yeah, I'm not saying they can't, but I'm saying, you know, and I'm trying to do it without bias. Obviously, you know, NFL player and everything.
I throw the bias in there. It's fine. JJ Watt did.
No, but realistically, there's a lot of football guys that their first love was basketball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I think it was it's either Trevon Dexter or Zach Pickens. I can't recall, but their first love was basketball. Like, they started playing basketball and the football coach came and took them off of their high school basketball team and say, hey, you know, come play football. So, you know, it's a lot of, and there is some guys in the NBA that could, you know, come in and be successful in football, but I think
30 might be crazy. 30 is crazy.
Yeah, man, come on, man. what's Trae Young going to play?
Well, I would assume he meant the bigger guys, right? I would assume that he meant like Anthony probably Davis. your power forward.
Oh, it was Anthony Davis, man. Come on, man. Jokic is too slow, man. Jokic can't play no tight end. Come on, man. He can't play tackle. He still his feet are too slow to play left tackle.
I think that's what makes it tough, right? It's such a different NBA now that it makes it tough to me to believe, because like LeBron is the guy my mind instantly goes to, right? And LeBron's 39, but like LeBron was the guy that I was like, LeBron could have played tight end in the NFL. I fully believe that.
Play football.
But there's not a lot of dudes built like LeBron. And that's kind of my thing, right? Like you have to have, and not to say NBA guys don't, but like, are we saying that there are two guards in the NBA that have elite speed? Like there's that many guys in the NBA that have like 4-3 speed. And I'm sure there are some, but like you got to have 4-3 speed, good feet, good hands, good hand eye coordination. I get it. Like a lot of the stuff will translate over, but then after all of that, you got to get hit.
That's what I think a lot.
I don't know about that. I think there's more NFL players that like, to me, if Micah Parsons focused on the NBA, he could have been in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like he just got, he's got that. He's a, what is he, six? Well, he'd probably be a little undersized. What is he, 6'6", 6'5"?
Yeah.
He'd have to be a small forward. I don't know. That's tough.
Yeah. But you look at it like this. A lot of, I think a lot of NBA guys, when they give you an honest answer about them possibly playing in the NFL, a lot of those guys, a lot of them guys started out playing basketball. Anthony Edwards started out playing football.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards played football as well, you know, and a lot of them guys is like, man, I wasn't trying to get hit like that. You know, I'm going to have a longer career in the NBA because I'm not getting punished like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just feel like, I mean, there's a lot of NFL guys, and I've seen it, they can play basketball. Don't get it wrong. Like,
oh, yeah.
They have the talent to play in the NBA. Like, they're that skilled at basketball, and they're athletic. You know what I mean? So, you know, for me, everybody talks about, you know, what sport has the most elite athletes and, you know, or which sport has better athletes, and I'll say football, just because like it's one thing basketball, right? You can jump, you can move, you can dunk, but in football, in terms of like a lot of things you have to do, change of direction wise, like you have to do in basketball, you're doing football, but at the same time in football, you got to do it while getting hit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to get hit, tackled, and then line back up and do the same thing. You know what I mean?
I would say you guys' endurance to me has to be more. Your mental has to be a lot tougher. Your get up and do it again has to be a lot tougher because in the NBA, there's not that hit element. I think athleticism-wise, we've seen dudes in the NBA do stuff that I don't know if regular dudes in the NFL could do.
Well, look here. I've seen a regular dude at the rec center do dunk the way these guys are dunking in the NBA. Everybody can go between their legs now. If you got like, you see a lot of regular people playing pickup games of basketball.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of guys, okay, let's go play pickup football unless it's Turkey Bowl on Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like that, no.
So, hey, J-Mac's thinking up for looking at that address,
I'm going to send him a red nose. Don't ever do that again, please.
Hey, or at least you get on the field. That would be the thing.
anytime he wants to do it, I'm ready right now. Any day of the week that ends in Y, I'll come to your city as well. I'll give you my helmet. I don't even need one for you.
I wonder where he's at. I wonder if he's in L.A. still. I mean, his pop's from here, so I don't know how much time he spent here. But, I had to bring that up just to see the NFL players' reaction to it because, listen, there's some – I mean, there was vitriol on Twitter yesterday from somebody.
Perspectives like that, man. Come on. Don't even do that.
Oh, the greatest athletes in the world, man. I absolutely love it. And then there's Austin Rivers. All right, let's finish it off with this, J-Mac. You've got some interesting insight on Torrey Taylor, our new punter that everybody has been losing their mind over. I'm glad that the punter talk has died down, but you've got some positive information on this young man.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even, you know, I know everybody's tired of punter talk, but I just wanted to, you know, go back through the draft, and there's a lot of journeys that these guys have taken to get to where they're at, right? So in terms of Torrey Taylor, I called my good buddy LeVar Woods, who's the University of Iowa special teams coordinator, and, you know, he's one of the guys who actually found Torrey Taylor, and, you know, him being from Australia, you know, Coach Woods 27-hour trip one way to go to Australia just to watch this guy work out, just to watch Torrey Taylor work out. So Torrey Taylor was a part of a company called Pro Kick Australia, in which he was saying that this company, they work with specialists, they work with the kickers, they work with the punters and stuff like that, and they try to give them an opportunity to come over here to the States and you know, go to college and play pro ball. And he said himself and then the special teams coordinator from TCU, which I forgot his name, were the only two guys that actually, you know, traveled to Australia to see these guys. You know, a lot of these guys are recruited off, you know, video and stuff like that. But he went there, seen this guy kick, and, you know, he was amazed by him. And, you know, this guy endured a lot of things when he came over to the University of Iowa. It was during COVID. So, you know, here's a new guy coming over from Australia, coming over here,
right,
you know, during COVID. And, you know, that's his first impression of America. And his first game was against Purdue. And he said that Torrey Taylor, you know, he told Coach Woods, he said, "Coach, you know, they're in West Lafayette where Purdue is located." He said, "Coach, is this what America, is this what all of America looks like?" And Coach Woods is like, "Nah, dummy, this is just West Lafayette." so it's a crazy story, man, in terms of, you know, what he did to find this guy and what he overcame. And, you know, he said his freshman year, he did real well, you know, got hype on the accolades. He said he kind of fell off his sophomore, junior year. He said his senior year, you know, he locked in, got off social media, stopped dealing with the girls and stuff like that. And you see the type of senior that he had. But I mean, it's, you know, having an elite punter, and I get it, you know, fourth round punter, everybody's like, "Damn, why do we have an, you know, fourth round punter?" But you look at, you know, I talked to my guy, Doug Coletti, and I was looking at, you know, drives that started inside, you know, your own 20. So there was 1,427 drives, right? Mm-hmm. And those drives, 48% of those drives resulted in a punt. 13% of those drives resulted in a turnover. Only 14% of those drives resulted in a touchdown. 10% resulted in field goals. So it's, you know, it's good to have a guy that can pin you inside the 20. He had 127 punts that were downed inside the 20. And when you put that much stress on an offense, no, it just creates so much stress. And I just think it just enhances your opportunity to win when you have controlled field position. You have a guy that can place that ball where he wants or where you want him to, you know, to pin that offense, you know, within their own, you know, their own 20, or even pin them down, you know, on the goal line. Like, it's different. It's a different breed, especially when you're on the road, especially if they come here to Soldier Field. You're trying to overcome the elements. You're trying to overcome the crowd. Like, your chances decrease the further you are away from that end zone. But right, when you have a guy that can do that, no, it's awesome. So, you know, fourth round, I get it. You know, am I excited? I'm just excited that we added another weapon that can help this team. So I just wanted people to know about, you know, this punter's story and how he was discovered and kind of his journey to the NFL. So I'm excited to see what his nickname is. Like we said, drop it in the comments. But I'm also excited to see this guy, you know, how he pans out.
Let me ask you this, right? Because we've talked so much about field position and different things like that. And at an NFL level, right? I feel like we see teams like, yes, I guess if you're playing the bad teams, mm-hmm, it's going to be a lot harder for them to get out of that situation. But we see teams often find ways to get out of being backed up against their end zone. I don't know what the numbers are of how many times it turns into a touchdown, which is the important part out of it, right? But I feel like a lot of people are just like, he's going to pin them inside the five and they're not going to be able to move. This is the NFL. These are the best athletes in the world. It's freaking, right? You pin in C.J. Stroud back there, who absolutely was a dog last season, with Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs. You pin in the Titans back there, who just added another weapon in T. Higgins over there. Yeah, I mean, like how often, I guess, if you're backed up, do you kind of go into that and just like, all right, this is going to be an uphill battle?
Yeah, it's definitely an uphill battle. It's like you almost want to, like in that case, yeah, you're trying to score, but you're just trying to, let's get out of this hole. You know, let's get out of this hole. And, you know, like I said, like if drives starting inside the 20, it's they were 14% of those drives last year ended in touchdowns, only 10% ended in field goals. You know what I mean? And it's tough. I mean, you look at the Bears last year, and this is, you know, from my guy, Doug Coletti, who does a great job. You know, he's our stat guy on the radio and everything. He gave me these numbers. So opponents started inside their own 20, 33 times. The fourth fewest, the Bears, we were the fourth fewest in the NFL. So pinning opponents inside their own 20, we only did that 33 times last year.
Right.
So, you know, we were ranked fourth in that, which isn't good enough. And that's why, you know, you look at, oh, why are we bringing in a punter in the fourth round? But there's a number right there. There's a stat right there, you know. So, and with the defense that we have, you know, there's a lot of things that can happen, right? It's you know, most of the teams are going to try to get at it at home, especially the closer they are to their own end zone, right? They're going to run the ball. So you, as a defense, you can almost dictate to that offense, and you kind of know what they're going to do, right? And then as they get at it at home, you know, the chances increase of them opening up that offense. But, you know, they want to get at it at home. So if we can give our offense great field position, you know what I'm saying, by pinning that opposing offense within their own 20-yard line, it just increases everything. It increases our chances of scoring. It decreases their chances of scoring. And we're just controlling field position. So I think that's why that pick was made. And you heard Poles talk about it when we listened to him on, I think it was Pat McAfee the other day. He said that he didn't feel like Taylor was going to get past the fourth round. He didn't feel like he was going to be available that much. And,
yeah.
You know, obviously he took into consideration, you know, what they did, you know, in terms of as a unit, in terms of punting last year. You know, they had to improve in that aspect. And he felt like this was the guy that could be a difference maker in doing that.
Yeah, and listen, at the end of the day, I think here's the thing. He's here now. I could care less. Would I have spent the fourth round pick on a punter? No. They did. It is what it is. They also traded back in and got Austin Booker, who I think is an absolute freaking dog. So I'm very happy with the draft overall. Was I stunned when he did it? Yeah. But there is an importance to it. And I think the one thing about it is you don't notice the importance when it's not something that an emphasis is put on.
Right.
But you do notice it when it helps you win a lot of games. When somebody's got to go 95 yards on the number one defense the last 7 weeks of the season last year, that's going to make things a lot harder than if they got to go 40, 50. You know what I mean? Trenton Gill had us with a lot of short punts last year. Let's just say that. It was a
close games. You know what I mean? Close games. If you have a weapon in which, you know, it's a one score game, you're up by a field goal and you can pin them inside their own 20. I mean, that's huge. It's huge.
Absolutely.
But we're going to make them earn it. We're going to give them anything. We're going to make them earn it.
Hey, and that's what I want to see the Bears do, man. Make everybody earn everything this year, including the people on this team. We've kind of come full circle. I think this is, again, Flew setting the mindset, right? Setting the mindset right now of everybody's got to earn everything. And I think that this is I can't wait for the season. We got schedule release coming probably next week. I think they said about March 15th that's supposed to be coming out. So that's next week. So that'll be exciting. It'll be breaking down. We'll get into all of our schedule predictions. We're going to lose our minds. Here we go. The Bears are going 17-0.
How many did you have them winning last year? Be honest. How many did you have them winning?
I think I said I have them winning 9.
Yeah.
But I could see them winning. No, maybe I said less. I think I said I had them winning 8, but I could see them winning 10.
Yeah, I think I had them winning 10 last year too.
And I feel like that was a solid predict. We got to see if we could pull that from last year. Go find those old podcasts and bring those back up so that we can see how right or wrong we are. Because I'm going to say 8, but you can't tell me you don't see 10. And that's kind of like how the season played out. We should have won 10.
Yeah.
We should have beat the Lions. We should have beat – who else we lose to that was – we shouldn't have beat Cleveland. That was a horrible game plan against Cleveland. We're throwing it 40 times. It's pouring rain. That's the dumbest thing I've seen. Luke Getsy should have been fired that day. Who's the other team that we blew a lead to? Denver. We should have beat Denver. We should have beat Cleveland. That would have made us a 9-win team. Would have made us a 9-win team. Playoff fighting for. But yeah, man, I think that, listen, I'm excited about this year's schedule because just looking at the opponents, it's like, There's opportunity here for you to not only prove that you improved this season, but also for you to get good run. Like I don't look at the Arizona Cardinals the same way I looked at them last year. I definitely don't look at the Texans the same way I looked at them last year. I mean, there's so many of these teams on here where it's like, and the Panthers coming, I look at the Panthers the same. I ain't gonna lie to you. Panthers were like, hey, Bryce, we're not gonna get you one offensive line.
Don't be shocked, though. Don't be shocked.
NFL, you can turn it around very, very quickly. So let's hope the Bears can do that. Let's get a 12-win season. Let's go big. 12-win season this year. Let's go all the way. And then we're going to the Super Bowl. And then we're shuffling. And can we get a new Super Bowl shuffle if we go back to the Super Bowl? Do we have to do that?
Who's gonna make the song though? Is it gonna be Drake or Kendrick Lamar?
Nah, you gotta go with somebody from Chicago. Yeah, here's the funny part is I mean, you probably remember this because they probably played it for y'all, but like a lot of people forgot about the Kanye and Common Super Bowl song that they put together for the Bears when y'all ended up going. And I was like, Muzz forgot about it because we, of course, we didn't end up winning the Super Bowl, but like, I was like, that song was a banger. Like, we had Kanye and Common on the first. Like, who do we get out of Chicago on the next one that's cracking right now? We're going to end up with Chance the Rapper. And we got Chicago's a little tough right now. Chicago's a little Smino. Yeah,
little Dirk.
Can we get some Dirk on there? We throw a little Dirk on there? Do we go old school and bring it back? Do we get Chief Keef? I'm always down for Chief Keef. Appreciate y'all for tuning in and rocking with us for another episode, man. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave that 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Hey, man, let us know your thoughts on anything in the comments below. Let us know your thoughts on the audio on today's podcast. Appreciate everybody who's sticking through some of the ups and downs. But hey, as always, there's more ups than downs, and that's the goal. For Jason McKee, it's your boy Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down, one love, and let's go get some dubs on the schedule. Peace.